You're listening to the Broadway Podcast Network. Attention all theater lovers! This Sunday, April 21st, Broadway Podcast Network is holding the first ever Broadway Podfest, a full day of podcast recordings with some of your favorite Broadway stars, live from the Museum of Broadway, which is right in the heart of Times Square. The day begins at 11 a.m. Eastern and features a full day of programming that you don't want to miss. Visit bpn.fm/podfest to get all the details and register to attend for free. That's bpn.fm/podfest.
Hey, I'm Steven.
And I'm Brett.
And this is the Broadway Husbands Podcast.
We are your all-American married couple making their living in the arts and pursuing a growing family. On the Broadway Husbands Podcast, we offer advice from our ordinary lives under extraordinary circumstances. And on today's episode, we're going to talk a little bit about our families.
Ooh. Specifically our siblings.
What it's like to have siblings. So for us, we're going to...
This is episode 14.
Yes, I should have said
what?
That. And also, if you aren't following the Broadway Podcast Network on Instagram, make sure you are. We are proud members of the Broadway Podcast Network, and we don't want you guys to miss an episode. They have a lot of great, juicy podcasts, all centered around people within the Broadway community, and we're very proud to be members. So, yeah, so let's talk a little bit about being about our siblings. So, Steven, you have...
One brother.
One brother who's older. And I have three brothers. So all boys, our families are very similar. Like our parents have very similar experiences of raising boys only, which has always kind of bonded them in a way, I think. But also I have three brothers and I have a twin brother. We are the youngest. And then I have two older brothers. And my oldest brother has special needs. He's autistic. He's on the spectrum. So my family dynamic has always been kind of an interesting one. And entertaining, to say the least.
Very entertaining.
But Steven, yours is too. I think you and your brother are very close because it's just the two of you.
Yeah, I think we're very close because A, it's just the two of us. And B, I think a lot of our connection is from the fact that I moved away at such a young age. I moved away when I was 12, turning 13. And so I always talk to my brother on the phone, you know, like, I would always call home and I would always talk to him. So from like that moment on, we were always talking, you know, on the phone and we were always connecting. And I obviously missed home a lot. And part of home is him. And I think that that's kind of part of why we grew so close. I think that we probably would have been pretty close regardless. But
let's talk about our first perception of our siblings, like my first perception of your brother and your first perception of mine.
Okay.
Because I think that'd be really interesting.
All right.
Because I remember meeting your brother and thinking he's hilarious. Mm-hmm. Like he is so funny. And you guys are both similarly attractive, he's tall, but his personality is just so joyful. Mm-hmm. Like on that cruise, right? That was like one of the first times we spent time together.
Yeah. That was the first time you probably met him? I don't know.
I think we had met maybe before. Once, but like we hadn't spent like a week together.
Yeah.
And we went on this cruise together. And my brother, Eric, who was on that cruise, he's the oldest who's autistic. And Eddie, Steven's brother, is a social worker. Well, has a master's degree in social work, but actually is a school counselor. So he was so good with Eric because he had all this experience and helping kids with special needs.
Yeah.
And so he was really, really good with Eric. In fact, I remember watching them like go to the nude beach and St. Martin and just like take off their, he got Eric to take his suit off
and then they ran the naked on the beach. That was so funny. Yeah. Is that really the first time you guys met?
I remember your brother, he loves you so much. Like that's the other thing I remember. I remember how much he loves being around you. You guys are really, really best friends.
Mm-hmm.
And my perception
yeah.
is that he's like somebody who's kind of seen you through a lot and has helped you out a lot.
Yeah, and I think that that's pretty right on. I mean, I think it's pretty accurate. So my perception of your brothers. So I guess the first brother I met was Bart.
When he came to New York.
Right? Yeah. So the first time I met Bart was when he came to New York. It was 2007. I think it was November, December of 2007. And I think it was right before Christmas. So it must have been somewhere in December. And he had just been married. And it was like a huge dramatic thing. He and his then wife had gotten married and they didn't invite any of the Shufords. And so I had like preconceived opinions of him before I met him because Brett, he and Brett are twins, and Brett was very upset when it happened and couldn't obviously even go if he wanted to because he was busy working and there wasn't enough time. And so it was a very dramatic kind of precursor, like before I met him. And obviously I knew Brett was upset. My first impression of Bart was that he was so super sweet, and that you guys were really close. Obviously, because you're twins. But like, yeah, there was definitely like a physical bond that you guys had. Like, I remember you guys would be like, kind of like, hey, and like lean on each other's shoulders and things and like do things like that, that were like very like twin centric. I don't know what you would call it. But so that was kind of my opinion of him. And just that he was super sweet. And
but at that time, the story is that he had been dating this girl and he had basically had kept it from my parents.
What? And he told your parents that they weren't together anymore.
He had basically told them that they'd broken up because he was living with my parents at the time. And he had told them that they'd broken up. And then a year and a half later, 2 years later, I can't remember how long it had been, he comes out and says, I've been lying the whole time. We've been dating this entire time.
And we're getting married tomorrow.
And we're getting married in a month. And my parents were, of course, incredibly upset. But also, like, they didn't like her. And I understand, like, there were things I didn't understand why, you know, she was African-American. I always thought that was part of it. But, you know, I was trying to, like, kind of reconcile my relationship with him because he, like, called me. He's like, we're going to get married and it's going to be in a month. And I'm like, I can't be, he wanted me to be the best man. I'm like, so I that can't was why be there.
Yeah.
So I talked to my therapist and my therapist said, why don't you extend an olive branch? And I was like, you know, Bart, if you really want to, you know, I understand, do what you want, but I love you. I want to accept her and include you. And I don't want you to feel ostracized in any way. If you want to come to New York, anytime you want to come to New York, you are welcome to come visit. And like 24 hours later, he calls me. We're coming to New York. We booked our flight. And I'm like, well, where
That's
are you?
That's exactly what happened.
Where are you staying? And he's like, well, you said I could stay with you. And I was like, that is not what I said. That's not what I said at all. But we can figure something out. And luckily, we were able to figure something out where they could stay in an apartment. I was moving. Steve and I were moving. Right. And so we ended up having this apartment he could stay in. And it was... But it was very scrambled, and I was in the middle of, you know, there was a strike happening at Mermaid, and there were all these things happening. And then he comes to New York, and then we realize, like, God, we're not going to use any names, but she was just kind of annoying. Like, she was, like, not even, had nothing to do with, like, anything but her personality.
Right, but, I mean, her aside, my impression of Bart, I'm not going to get into that, but my impression of Bart... was that he was super sweet and that he really loved you and that there was definitely like, he was aware that you were hurt. And like, so I kind of like, was like, okay, you know. So it was clear that he cared about you and that you guys were twins, like I said. And yeah. And
it was very dramatic.
And it also became clear to me that in your twin relationship that Brett was like the really talkative, like bossy one, and Bart was like the quiet, like okay, You know, like Andy Samberg on Saturday Night Live. Have you ever seen that skit yeah. recently? Yeah. Where he's like, let's dress up and drag. RuPaul's like doing all this stuff. He's just like, okay.
So I'm RuPaul? Is that what you're saying?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that, like, you know, it was... So that dynamic was interesting to, like, witness. I was like, oh, okay, I get it. I get what's happening here.
But he is a sweet, sweet man.
Sweet, sweet, sweet.
And we have grown... You know, it's interesting as twins, if we want to have this conversation about twins, a lot of people ask us, you know, how close are you? We really grew apart when I moved to New York. Most of when I moved to New York, I went through a huge withdrawal with my family because we're incredibly intertwined, and some might even say codependent, but we're incredibly close. And so when I moved to New York, I had a huge withdrawal from, especially from my twin brother. And when I got sober, because that was, we would always drink together. Like we were drinking buddies. And so when I stopped drinking, I noticed we really started growing apart. But then when this happened and he got married and didn't invite me to the wedding and it was a whole thing, that grew us apart.
Yeah, that was like a step further.
And that took us even further apart.
And then we were together at the time. So,
you and I were together and I started, you know, so really that was it. And then, you know, so now we have so much, we just don't have that much in common anymore. Like right. We used to be really, really close, but like we talked about politics in an episode, like we don't have a matching political views. He works in an oil refinery. I work in theater. Like it's just, there's not a lot for us to discuss, but we still feel really close because we are bonded by the fact that we're twins. And so when I see him, there's an affection and there's an affinity for his spirit and like who he is as a person. I love him very much, but it's definitely like, there's not a lot for us to talk about anymore. Like, you know, he's, unless he watches Love is Blind, which we got to get him to watch that.
But, so that was like my impression of Bart. It was a good one. Although I felt like he was under a strained circumstance that.
And then that ended, that marriage ended.
Yeah. So that's over. But so then I think the first time I met your brother, Todd, I don't even know when it was. Maybe it was like before he got married to Chris, his second wife.
His second wife.
So
when they came to New York.
So it must have been when they came to New York. And I don't remember.
Some of the stuff you can't write.
I don't remember the first time actually meeting Todd, but. For the longest time, what's funny about Todd and Brett together is that they are like the classic case of sibling rivalry you will ever witness. I mean, it is like the funniest thing ever. Like we'll be sitting somewhere and if Brett's mom is there, Brett's like, Mom, and then I was like singing this song, and then I like walked out, and they were like, you can't sing that. And then Todd's like, Mom, you never believe what happened. Like, da, 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 da. And like, and then Brett's like, Todd, I was talking. And Todd's like, well, what? I was trying to tell Mom what was going on. Like, I mean, it's like literally, and then we'll leave. This is like the first like many times that I was around Todd. We would like leave, and Brett would be like, I can't believe Todd was saying that. And then I'm like, you guys are like just competing. It's like the funniest thing. And you don't even realize it, but you're like, Mom, Mom, Mom. It's like you're still like 10 years old and like, Mom, watch me do this. Mom, no, Mom, watch me do this. Like, it's like they have this dynamic. And Brett's like, God, he's being such a jerk.
Okay, well, if we're going to go there.
It's really funny.
I'm just going to say.
That's my impression. But my impression of Todd is that he's actually very... he's like not a big personality, but like a lot of charisma is like kind of what he's got, a lot of charisma. And he's also very sweet and very funny and, you know, and likes to.
I don't think he's that funny. I'm kidding.
Oh, I do. I think he's hilarious.
That was a joke. That was a sibling rivalry joke.
Yeah. He's hilarious.
Praised by Lin-Manuel Miranda as the future of musical theater. SUFS creator Shayna Taub makes Broadway history as only the second woman to write the book, music, lyrics, and star in her own original new musical. Don't miss the much-anticipated Broadway debut of the singular artist that Forbes calls visionary and Billboard anoints as one of the most inventive voices in musical theater. Suf's The Original New Musical from Shayna Taub is now playing on Broadway at the Music Box Theater. Get your tickets today at suffsmusical.com. The Outsiders on Broadway tells the story of finding where you belong when the world refuses to accept you. Based on S.E. Hinton's beloved novel, featuring new music from Jamestown Revival and Justin Levine, and directed by Danya Taymor, Entertainment Weekly says that, with brilliant staging and some of the most captivating stage fighting currently on Broadway, The Outsiders has the power to inspire an entire generation. Get your tickets today at outsidersmusical.com.
But I will say this with you, with your parents, and I think it's because you left so early, there is automatically, like, the minute you're with them, it's like they treat you like you're 16 years old.
Not even 16, like 10 or 12.
They're like, Steven,
they
what
baby
we...
you, and you milk it for all it's worth.
Hey,
you do, like, you're, you know, like, Steven, your mom's like, Steven, you're so tired, you should take a nap, I'll bring you food, I'll take care. And I'm just like, he is too old. Like, he can make his own sandwich.
Brett's just jealous.
Okay, all right, it's hilarious.
We're talking about siblings, not parents.
Well, I just pointing out, it's not just me.
You're right. So, but so that, and my impression of Todd was that he was a fun person.
But let's just be honest. When we met, and you and I met, the Shuford saga
was in full swing. I experienced all of it. Not all of it, but a lot of it.
With that whole thing with my twin brother getting married, not inviting us, that was huge drama.
A big thing.
Like, we would go down for Thanksgiving and my dad would basically ignore his wife. Yeah, and we would go, you know, at Thanksgiving dinner, he would basically pretend she
wasn't
there.
Just pretend she wasn't there. She would talk and he would just turn the other way.
It was so dramatic. And then, you know, Todd got married. This is a good story. When Todd got married to his second wife, I got asked to sing at the wedding. They get married on a golf course at a country club in Houston. Mm-hmm. And Stephen came with me, and we were, what, 2 or 3 years in?
Today? Not even. I mean, maybe, yeah, like a year and a half, maybe.
And so we show up, me with my husband.
Oh, maybe, maybe almost 2 years, yeah.
Me with my husband and Bart with his African-American wife, who was sort of being ostracized.
Well, we weren't married yet. We were just boyfriends.
Right, boyfriends.
We were boyfriends.
But they were married.
You were my boyfriend.
And, you know... You're so like, we're kind of like boyfriend. These like kind of little outcast couples in a way. And Todd's wife, or at the time his fiance, she's an hour late to her own wedding.
She ended up getting there and the sun was already set.
She was an hour late to her own wedding. The sun had already set. So we're like
waiting
on the golf. You're waiting on the golf course for this thing to start. The sun's disappearing.
And I look behind the gazebo and there's like a fire. And Bart's then wife says to me,
pine tree is on fire.
Bart's then wife says to me, somebody burning their trash over there. And I was like, I don't think there's like a house anywhere near here. And there, like, literally there was like a tree on fire and it just kept going. And then eventually Todd's wife,
the
ceremony was starting and the fire is getting bigger and bigger and bigger. And while, you know, and now it's dark outside. They were supposed to get married in the daylight. And it was dark.
Yeah, there's just like floodlights keeping the wedding
floodlights. So now they're like up at the gazebo doing their vows.
I have a picture of the string quartet.
Yeah, the
playing,
string quartet playing with
the
this
pine
big
tree
fire.
And fire in the back. And the sun's totally gone.
You'll have to put it online so we can include it in the show notes.
So it was so funny. And then while they're doing the ceremony, the fire department finally shows up.
Yeah, the fire truck
pulls up.
They're
and
like,
is like putting
do
up
you this. Take this woman to be your lovely wedded wife?
Yeah.
There's the fire
and
truck
that's,
behind
and
you.
And then the fire truck's happening. So that was like one of my early, obviously, memories of Todd. But like him personally, like, it's funny to see he really like pushes Brett's buttons. And it's just really funny.
But the Shuford saga was a real thing.
Oh, yeah. It was a real thing. And I...
And then a year later, they divorced.
I got to lose a lot of it. Yes.
A year later, they divorced.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then we met his now wife, who's lovely.
He's awesome.
And, you know, third time's a charm.
And then Brett's oldest brother is Eric, and he is so sweet and so fun, and he's obsessed with the Ghostbusters. Mm-hmm. He usually has like a Ghostbusters shirt on, jacket, and possibly hat. And then sometimes we'll be like listening to music and you can hear it and it's Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
But he's super sweet and he's shy. But now that I've known him for many years, he's obviously not. But in the beginning, he was definitely very shy and he loves and misses Peretz.
He is the sweetest and he loves Steven. Loves Steven. But he, you know, growing up with a brother with special needs is an interesting. I think it's really created the dynamic in our family. And I'm sure someone on this podcast is listening who has someone in their family with special needs. I would love to hear from you because I do think it creates an interesting dynamic, especially because he's 44 and 44 years ago, we didn't know what autism was. Like no one knew what to diagnose and how to treat him. And still, we don't really know what autism is, but we know that it exists and we know that there are certain treatments to help people who are on the spectrum. And I don't even think until 3 or 4 years ago, I was even able to say, like, that's what this is. He's autistic, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But our family dynamic is one that, you know, I think Todd always felt like he needed to make up for what Eric didn't have as the oldest brother.
Yeah.
And then I just wanted to run away to New York and be on Broadway.
And you did it.
And I did it. But Eric is really, I think, the glue in our family. Mm-hmm. I think he keeps everybody together mm-hmm. and he keeps us, he keeps that affection there for everybody. Even when things have been rocky, he is just, you can look at Eric and you can see that he's got unconditional love no matter what. Like right. there's no, he doesn't get hung up on whether or not Todd's been married two or three times
yeah.
or like he just loves.
He only gets hung up on wanting more t-shirts.
He wants more t-shirts.
That's typically what he wants.
If you want to get Eric a Target gift card, he would love it. Anything Ghostbusters, he would love it.
Love it.
But it is interesting having four boys in our family. Mm-hmm. I'm sure it was interesting having two boys. And it's also interesting for us as a couple that our parents are still married
mm-hmm. yeah.
all these
yeah,
years.
My parents, their 50th wedding anniversary is coming up. And what are your parents are almost 50. 40,
yeah, 48.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yeah, I think it's interesting. Like, I think having parents that have been married for that long, it definitely like shaped my idea of like a relationship. And also I think like, since I had an early life goal of being like a professional ballet dancer and like I was doing all of these things to make that happen, I think that I would always in my head think like my parents did like the opposite. Like they found the love of their life like really young. And like that was their goal, was to like just be in love and be happy. And then their careers and jobs kind of followed. But whereas like I always felt like I was like wrapped up in this like goal at such a young age. And then, I mean, eventually I did fall in love and get married, but it, you know, it was just like a different path. And like, I think I always felt pressure to kind of find what they have, you know?
And I think we can end this segment with this idea that like what's been really cool for us when we met and our parents all came together. And I don't think we've ever had the whole Shuver clan together, right? Like your parents haven't been around everybody once.
Yeah, my parents were there in June.
And Todd came over. And
Yeah.
But that was the first time we've all been
that was the first time my mom ever met Todd. Mom and dad met Todd, yeah.
But when our parents were together, your mom and my mom especially, there was such a connection for them because
they both have gay sons and they both never really talked about
They've never really met anybody else who had gone through that.
And so it was healing for them.
That was a really beautiful thing for them. And it's nice to see that they feel close. In fact, we're going to see them in a few weeks.
Soon.
So let's move on to our segment, which we call
Spotlight on Love.
Yeah. Okay. So this was a really interesting question. And especially because we're about to go on vacation. Do you want to ask it, Alan?
Yeah, let's have Alan ask the question.
All right, so there's a question that was sent in to me that I want to read to you guys.
Yes.
And it goes as follows. You're a, Hey, husbands, I'm a big traveler and I'm about to go on a big vacation with my significant other for the first time. I'm worried that I might not like them after I go on the vacation. So I just want your advice on what to do on if, you know, we are overseas together and all of a sudden I decide this is not a person I want to be with. What should I do?
Well, I think you should not bring too many things so that you can quickly run. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. That's a total joke. Don't.
What would you do, Steven? Let's say, I really want you to paint the picture. Let's say you're on vacations, like when we first started dating. Let's say you came down to Disney World and met me in Disney World. And you were like, this guy totally sucks. Like, this is not fun for me. How would you handle it? You're already there, sharing a hotel room.
Well, I think that it would be like a slow realization. And it's not like an instant, like, it would be like a slow, like, And then I think no matter when I realized it, I think I would obviously just try to have a good time and finish out the vacation.
What if it was instant, like, oh, phone's ringing. Hold on. It's my clan leader.
Oh, God.
Well, then I would be like, oh, my God. You mean like the clan I think you're talking about? And I would be like, hey, I'm so sorry. I don't think you're the person I thought you were. And this is not going to work out. And I would run.
I could see you running on the beach like,
yeah, and I would get a hotel and finish out the trip by myself.
I mean, honestly, that's a really not a bad idea to be like, you know, in this situation to say like, listen, I'm going to get my own room. Like, it might be worth the expense to just say, I'm going to get my own room. It's not because I think you're a bad person. I just don't feel comfortable continuing this vacation the way that it's going. You know, maybe having that conversation. But I also think that if you're having doubts before you go,
then maybe you shouldn't go.
Then you might actually want to have that conversation before you go so that it doesn't become awkward. To me, like, I mean, you know, as a life coach, I would say, like, you got to have that conversation. You got to have an open conversation about how do you together, we're going this vacation together. How do you want to handle it if at some point on this vacation, we're no longer feeling this is compatible? You know, or then if you have that dialogue and they're like, well, I don't know that I feel that way. Well, I have doubts. I'm having feelings that this may not work out. So do we even want to do this at all?
Wow. That's so sophisticated compared to my idea.
Run.
But ultimately, it's about having those really uncomfortable conversations and like setting boundaries. And that's the kind of crap that doesn't sound like fun because you want to just go on vacation and be carefree and have
but
sex
I guess
not care.
I guess if you are having doubts before you go, then maybe you need to.
If you're questioning it,
then there's some questions.
You're like, what do I do if it doesn't work out? Don't go on vacation with that person.
That sounds,
right. I do remember, do you remember when we first started dating?
Here we go. What?
And I got Little Mermaid and we went to Denver.
Uh-huh.
And
you tried to dump me?
I didn't try to dump you. But I was like, I think we should take a break until I get back from Denver. What are you doing on my computer?
I'm not doing anything. I'm just looking at it.
I was like, I think we take a break, right? And then we go to Denver. And I remember vividly thinking, I missed you. We were talking on the phone like every day. And I remember thinking, you should come to Denver because if you come and spend a week with me in Denver, then we'll really know if this like can work. And I think
that was like your thought, like we would know if like we spent that
because
time
I remember thinking, I remember having experiences with other people where if I'd spent time with them, you know, 4 or 5 days in a row on a vacation or at a hotel or whatever, that about 4 or 5 days into it, I would go, you know, this isn't going to work, right? You spend that kind of close time with somebody, you can usually figure it out. And I remember when you came to Denver, it was like day 2 or day 3. And I was like, oh my God, this feels the opposite of that. Like this feels like.
So that was like a test?
It wasn't purposefully a test.
Great.
But you know, you usually, if you spend 4 or 5 days with somebody in an apartment, just the two of you, you're going to see everything. You know, you're going to know.
Oh, yeah.
You're going to know the good and the bad. And that's the thing, you know, like there's some young people in my cast who are like, you know, how long have you and Steven been together? Da, 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 da. And they're, you know, I'm like, ooh, they're so cute. Like, I should set them up with people. But their expectations are almost impossible because they're like, you know, they want perfection. And you're like, you know, if you can't handle somebody when they fart, then your relationship's not going to go anywhere. Like, you gotta be able to, they're human beings. Like, it's, those are the moments where, like, you know, it's real when you can actually fart and just laugh and not be like, oh God, this person.
Oh God, this crazy person. Yeah. But I mean, honestly, if you're having doubts, like, you need to check in with that before you spend money on going on a trip with them, I think is really, really the answer. And Brett had some great suggestions, unlike mine. So
listen, yours will work for some people.
Yeah, mine will totally work. I don't know if it's healthy and good, but it works.
For some people, it just might, especially with the clan leader. Like,
yeah, run. So if you want relationship and dating advice from our completely unqualified selves, DM us on Instagram at Broadway Husbands or email us on BroadwayHusbands.com, and we may choose your question on the next episode. Also, to guarantee you receive our advice, consider becoming a patron on Patreon. And you can join us on a live episode to ask your question. Check out this plus an array of other benefits at patreon.com/BroadwayHusbands for more details.
And we will see you on our next episode of Broadway Husbands podcast. Don't forget to love who you love
and love what you do.
They say well-behaved women seldom make history. Just ask the Supps. A vibrant and wholly original new musical, Supps celebrates the real women who changed history and their story that is more timely than ever. See the show Variety calls an epic tour de force new musical. Deadline Cheers is a rare Broadway feat and leaves audiences inspired to keep marching. Supps has arrived on Broadway and not a moment too soon. Get your tickets today at suppsmusical.com. If you love Broadway gossip, you are not going to want to miss any episode of this podcast, Singular Sensation, The Triumph of Broadway. Plenty of dramas unfold on stage, but the best dramas unfold backstage. And there were no bigger dramas than behind the scenes of Sunset Boulevard.
So you were being crucified over here, but not there.
No. No, because I was turning in a performance that would get standing ovations. Excuse me.
So check out my podcast, Singular Sensation, for all the juicy and gory details of Sunset Boulevard.